Just before we get into today's episode, I want to cast your ears over here to this promo for a few minutes and explain why you might be missing out if you're not using Adobe Express. You've heard of Adobe, right? The chaps that brought you Illustrator, InDesign, and who hasn't been asked, has this been Photoshopped? Adobe is a household name. But have you heard of Adobe Express? I hadn't until the back end of last year, and then, well, I did. Now, I'm not saying that in a few years' time, people will be asking you, where were you when you discovered Adobe Express? But they may ask why you didn't start using it sooner. Using Adobe Express allows endless opportunities to scale up your creatives and improve your efficiency and productivity as well as anything I've seen or used. Creating and editing all your creative output with more customizable templates than a Rubik's Cube has variations. Well, all right, maybe not 43 quadrillion, but you get the idea. And that is just your basics. The powerful AI function allows you to generate customizable images from text and tweak them once created, as well as adding, removing, or changing parts of all your photos. No more photo bombing or misplaced Starbucks cups to dethrone you. Get it? If you don't want to miss out on any of this, use one of the links in the show notes that will take you to a free trial of Adobe Express. Or why not supersize it and trial the complete Adobe Creative Cloud package, which includes Adobe Express, as you'd imagine. Oh yeah, bonus point. If you're already a Creative Cloud user, Adobe Express is right there waiting for you. Now let's do it.
We generated the whole project and got to show the community how far away the site was to kind of give them the reassurance that nothing was going to happen, that everything was safe.
Welcome to Construction Disrupted, the ultimate podcast for the construction industry, exploring the limitless possibilities at the dynamic intersection of construction and technology. Wow, that's a mouthful. Delve into the latest topics, news, events, expert insights, and marketing that are shaping the industry right now and in the future. We'll hopefully sprinkle a little bit of humour in there for you as well. I'm your guy, Peter Sumpton, and I run a marketing consultancy focusing on those that build, create, and educate. If you're ready to embrace disruption and unlock the potential of the construction industry, keep on listening and be part of the conversation that's reshaping the future of construction. If you're not, I really wouldn't bother. It's probably not going to be that interesting for you. Whether you're a construction technology professional, or just part of the construction industry in general, this podcast is your go-to resource for staying informed, inspired, and of course connected. Speaking of connected, the best way you can help to support this podcast is by sharing it far and wide and leaving us a 5-star review wherever you download your podcasts. Right then, let's go and build different and get disruptive. It's easy, as humans, to focus simply on the end goal. What we set out to achieve, and whether we've achieved this or fallen short. It's the same in construction. Be it remedial works or new build, there is always an end goal in mind. So it's easy to forget the peripheral, the support functions, the necessary ones that will help us achieve this end goal, but will not be around to share in its glory. Take temporary works, for example. A critical linchpin in any construction project, and one that keeps us all safe and supported in the right areas at the right time. But how safe and supported will we be going forward with the more manual and traditional methods of design and implementation still being used today? We're about to find out. Steve Baldwin has worked in the world of marketing for over 15 years. Including education, recruitment, accountancy, wholesale, and construction and engineering. 6 of those years have been as head of marketing and comms within the temporary work sector, prior to transferring to his current role as category marketing manager below ground. He's not below ground, but that's the category he manages. Maybe higher, He has spent the last 6 years within engineering and service excellence space of temporary works. A bit of a good preamble there to see. Welcome. And is there anything I missed off that intro?
No, thanks for having me today. No, it's I think you hit the nail on the head there. Got it all right.
Even got a joke in about below ground. I think we'll just leave that there.
Gotta be done.
Park it. Yeah, it's gotta be done, but you know, I got it out the way. Right. So let's start with temporary works then. The sector itself relies heavily on traditional design methods, often involving manual calculations, 2D drawings, and the likes. And like most industries, there's always a desire to seek improvements in efficiency, accuracy, and obviously cost effectiveness. We are in construction after all. But I'd like to start with the more traditional methods used within the sector and the limitations or security that comes with using the same old. What are your thoughts?
So the traditional routes of producing an engineering design go back to the old days where you were sat with a big piece of paper and you were drawing out the designs, ruler, pencil, drawing it all out. Things have progressed over the years. Now we've moved fully into using CAD, BIM level 2, and doing all of the designs via your computer. And then moving into our platform called Eve, which we can do lots of digital designs and digital artwork within there to show our customers.
I think part of Maybe's appeal, like you mentioned, is Eve, engineered virtual environment. And I've read that, I haven't remembered it. But it's kind of at the forefront, I would say, of digital advancements in temporary works. In doing some research, it's difficult to get a valuation on how construction globally, how much that software market is worth and evaluated. But needless to say, it's like worth billions. So, you know, there's huge opportunities in every sector to bring digital to the forefront, new tech, and all that brings, and have a huge impact on certain sectors, of which, you know, we're talking about temporary work. So let's get stuck into Eve then. Can you give us a concise overview of what it is, its core functions, and the benefits that you are providing for clients?
Yeah. So Eve was born out of wanting to give our customers a better service to reduce the risks and increase the safety of all the temporary works and construction projects that are out there. It's had quite a few iterations. We're now into version 3. The best way to describe it is it's like it's a 3D environment, which includes all of our temporary works equipment, but also all of our customers' information about what the site looks like. So everything from how deep the excavation is going to be, if it's going to be a bridge that's going over it, what's the soil type, what buildings and what's surrounding the site, everything goes in there. And it's built in the Unreal Engine, so it looks really good. It looks really realistic. And we actually got people from the gaming industry to come over to maybe hire, and that's how we've developed this over the years.
From a client's perspective then, why bother with Eve? Why not stick to your drawings and your pencils and your rulers?
Yeah, it's the visual nature of it. It really brings the project to life, and it helps you see things that you may not have noticed or realized as part of your project. How we really like to support our customers is when they're tendering for jobs with large tier one customers, we can work with them, produce the temporary works design, take all of the information from their project and put it into a visual representation of what it will look like and the different stages of development throughout the project, so they can see everything that's going to happen. It's not a piece of software to show clashes and where temporary works and permanent works might clash into each other. It does assist with that, but there's other software out there. It's a good learning tool. It's a good thing to show with tenders. It's just a really good thing to be interactive with and really get a feel for what's going on there.
Yeah, and I suppose from a marketing perspective, it makes you stand out a little bit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't... From what I know of the industry, I've not seen anything like this. This is streaks ahead of what other people are doing at the moment. We've got other people in the industry might be doing videos and animations. This is just like one step ahead. I've been in the industry for quite a long time, and when I saw this and its capabilities, it it blew me away with what it could do. It's amazing what you can do.
Okay. So that leads me really nicely onto the next kind of question that I've got for you, because construction is known to embrace traditional, and we've mentioned it not so long ago, and it often faces hesitation with adopting new technology. You know, your platform, although it offers significant potential, it might raise questions about the investment it needs, the skills it needs, the software, the hardware, how that's compatible with others, and like learning and understanding a new way of visualizing things. So how does Eve address the factors that potentially offer savings, increase efficiency, keeping people on site, against the more traditionalists, shall we say? What would you say to them? Right.
I know what you're saying. In the world of construction, sometimes it can take a little bit longer to get where we want to be than in other industries.
Yes.
But with Eve, it just takes it to the next level, and it helps people see how to build something to make it more efficient. So temporary works, and what I think Maybe Hire is all about early engagement. And sometimes temporary works is the forgotten thing within a project, because it's like a necessary evil that everybody knows they're going to have to do, but they don't really want to think about it. So if we can get in with the customer early to show them what the site will look like, it helps them design the project, maybe, so it's not over-engineered, so you're using less materials, and then it helps with all of the ESG strategies, looking at, say, saving carbon, saving transport. Can we reuse a piece of kit because we can see it on the project? We can reuse that piece of equipment here, reuse it rather than it being transported back to site and back again.
It's almost a case of we do all the work beforehand so that during the actual works, there's multiple benefits because it's cheaper, quicker, more effective. I can see how it would work in theory. It's all good on theory, on screen to on site, but I'm imagining the reality is a different story. And then just go on to, okay, right. Here we go. Okay, but temporary works projects often rely on heavy, meticulous plan designs. The transition from on-screen plans to on-site reality is fraught with a lot of challenges, whether that be traditional methods or digital. But what's the reality actually like? Is it easy to see the process working, or is it a difficult sell if someone has never come up and viewed something like this?
We've worked really hard with customers over the years, and we're part of STEM programs as well, so working in schools and really developing Eve to help people realize its potential. So I know when this first started, we developed the first version of it, took it into schools, did a really brilliant presentation and workshop with them, and they came back with, that's really good, but what would I use it for? And that created the next iteration of it, where we realized it, maybe it wasn't all the way there, and we took it to the next step. What's good about Eve is once it's got all of the information inside, you can move everything around, you can see everything, you can really plan in meticulous detail what is going where and when, and different stages of the job. One of the other things that we looked at was, at first it was on a computer, then we moved to the headsets using VR, which was really good. But back then it was, you had to put all the stands up and all the lighting to really make the Eve work. What we've done now is, now you can use it on a wireless version, and we've put it onto a desktop version as well. So we're not restricted anymore to having to do it on a VR headset. We can send you a version of it that can work on your computer straight away. It doesn't need any applications on your computer. You can log in through a website link that we send you, and you can see it straight away. You can interact with it and move around. You can click on the different elements, and it's going to show you the weight of the kit, how it's structured together. It's it just goes on and on. It's really good.
Interesting that you took it to schools. Like, just before we move on to talking a little bit more about VR. Just like to dive into that a little bit more. But whose idea was it to take it to schools and why? I just think that's a. I had a conversation with somebody not so long ago, and we were talking about how you present yourself and your offerings and your services and things like that. And they said, always look at it from the point of view of if you can't explain it to a 5-year-old, then you can't explain it. So good whose point. Idea was it to take it into schools?
It was part of the working group that pulled this together. So it would be a digital engineering manager and his team. A lot of people within Maybe are a big advocate of STEM, of being STEM ambassadors and working closely with schools, because they're the engineers that are going to come through and they're the people that are going to be doing jobs that we've not even thought of yet, which will use some of this stuff. So we thought it was important to take it in, let them use it, really just try and break it, show us what is good about it, what we can improve on. And just some of the questions and some of the responses really kind of opened our eyes, and you wouldn't have heard that from being in a corporate setting. It was a relaxed atmosphere, and kids will just tell you what you do or maybe what you don't want to hear sometimes as well.
It was masterstroke, really, to be fair. And it's great to see that you got STEM ambassadors, huge advocate of those kinds of things. And kids will always tell you the truth, eh? So harsh reality sometimes. Stepping back towards the VR a little bit, I can see it capturing imagination across various industries, and it's got loads of potential applications within temporary works. And it can add a new dimension, project planning, and the actual execution of those projects. But you've almost gone from headset back to screen. Are there any key advantages with using VR within the temporary work sector?
It was important when we did the VR that it wasn't just a gimmick, because there's lots of things out there, and it's really easy to stick a headset on and then you're doing something different and you've got a new experience. So for us, it was making sure that it was valuable to our customers, not only from a selling point for them, but also so they can actually get the feeling that they're inside an excavation or standing on a bridge, which is looking over a river, so you can see how it's all put together.
And I suppose it's almost that visualization and manifestation in a weird sense, that if you're able to visualize it more clearly when it comes to the actual construction, if you like, then you know exactly what it should be looking like, and you've almost already been in it, so you can really, really apply what you're seeing into the real world rather than just looking at a piece of paper.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some good examples of work that we've done where it was really close to some really important listed buildings, and the community was really worried that the listed buildings might move when the excavation in front of it started to happen. So how we used Eve for this example was we generated the whole project and got to show the community how far away the site was to kind of give them the reassurance that nothing was going to happen, that everything was safe, so they could really see and move around as well to see how far away it is and that everything is safe and everything's got all the equipment it needs and it's got all the temporary works and all the boarding and hoardings up as well.
That just reminds me of when they did the London Underground and the Elizabeth Line, and I remember watching documentaries and you know, in some instances it was like inches away from another station, and it had to be so precise, and it's like, how do you do that, you know? But they'll have kind of visualized that in a way you're just describing to make sure that, although it's massively underground, you know, that they are bang on accurate, because if they're not, it's kind of game over a little bit.
Oh yeah, it's massively important. The engineers who do it, it's unbelievable. Like there's millimeters in it. It can't move by like a few millimeters, the whole structure. So the fact that they get all this temporary works equipment in, and all the construction guys get that in, it's a feat, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think construction is given credit for that accuracy or that precision. You know, it's always seen as dirty and grubby and bricks and blocks and just build it cheap kind of thing. But you know, the engineering and the precision that has to go into some projects is quite phenomenal, really, particularly when you're talking about listed buildings or when you're underground or you're close to vital pipelines and electricity and things like that. It's like you said, millimeters. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see what people can do. I, before working in this industry, I had no idea of the level of expertise and what happens on a day-to-day basis. It's unreal.
Yeah, for sure. So with that in mind, let's focus this final part on the future, if you like. So during our discussion, it's kind of starting to feel like the temporary works industry, driven by things like Eve and innovative solutions, is almost poised for significant advancements like pretty soon. You know, if you're doing it, others are bound to follow, and you need to stay ahead of the game. Yeah. And you're clearly doing that. Maybe you're at the forefront of this, and they'll probably play a crucial role going forward, like we said, in the future.
Yeah.
And integrating technology. But it, from your perspective, you've been in the game for quite a while. In your perspective, where's this going? What emerging technologies do you see having an impact on the temporary work industry? And how will these technologies change project design, execution, and safety?
Yeah, I think the key to it all is all about sharing information. And the more information people can share with each other to go into these new pieces of software that are coming out is what makes the difference. So we can tell from working with customers who share all their information to customers that maybe can't share as much information for different reasons. You can see the level of design that we can do and how much information we can get out of it. I think that's where things are going. It's all about sharing information, and you've got all the stuff with BIM, you've got virtual reality, you've got AR as well, which is coming out. So I don't think I'd be brave enough to wear one of those new Apple headsets, but having one of those on and walking around a site and just looking at the pieces of kit, and it tells you all the information about the kit, all the monitoring capabilities of it. It's mega. It's just being able to walk around and look at that is going to make a huge difference. I think it's great from a marketing and sales point of view that you can bring your customer along and they can walk around an empty site and can see what it's going to look like. It's going to make a big difference. It's going to help communities because they can get a real sense of what's going on as well. But it's exciting to think the stuff coming out that we've not even thought of yet, that's going to take this even further than we're at already.
Yeah, you've said that twice today, and it scared me a little bit that engineers of the future will be doing things that we don't even know yet. And just then that we'll be using technology in the future that we don't even know about yet. And it's almost, but it's really funny if you look back 30 years and you said we'd all have this device in our pocket that does X, Y, and Z, better than a digital camera does at the minute, better than a TV spec is at the minute 30 years ago, then it'd be like, no, that's just crazy. But now we have it and more. So watch this space, I suppose. Yeah, Steve, thank you so much for sharing the information about Eve and temporary work, because I think it's not a forgotten sector, far from it, but it's something that can kind of go amiss, I feel, because it's not the finished product. It's not supposed to be there. It's temporary. So it disappears when the finished article is there. So thank you so much for sharing your insights on technology and the industry itself. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It's been a great experience. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day and giving this a listen. If you want to chat further about anything you've heard on today's episode, have a topic or technology you'd like me to cover, or simply want to say hiya, you'll find me on LinkedIn or through the emails, peter@builddifferent.marketing. Stay disruptive.